Today, as we focus on the Holy Spirit, we look at wind and water. The readings are taken from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 13, and Psalm 104, verse 1, followed by verses 24 to 31. And the Reverend Fabian Wirtz will unpack the message. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
And this is how Genesis describes the beginning of the earth. So I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in accordance to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've just sung some modern hymns of praise about creation. We're going to go back into the Old Testament and hear some ancient songs and poetry praising God for his creation. So I'm going to be reading from Psalm 104, verse 1, and then verses 24 to 31. "Praise the Lord, my soul. Let my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. How many of your works, Lord, in wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
I just need to apologize. My voice might be a little bit deeper than usual. I think I'm getting this kind of strange cough that's going around, and I haven't collapsed yet. But if I do, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's most probably what's brewing. So we're talking about God's Spirit, and this is week two, and we're going to explore in the coming weeks what it means to experience, to follow, to see at work the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the life of His church, and in the life of the world. So I was going to start with a question. Did you see, and I was stolen my first question, which was all about the Northern Lights. So it sounded like not many did see the Northern Lights or went to see them. My wife was very brave. On Friday, she got a message on her Facebook at 11:30, I think, in the evening. You can see them. I can see them. So she decided to take my children. I said, no, I'm going to sleep. Thank you very much. And she went, I don't know where, to some kind of gardens where you were supposed to see them. But when she arrived, they were gone. And I waited another hour, nothing. So I said, oh, you get another chance. No, this night. So she braved again. She went to the Quantock at 10:30 and waited there for 2 hours and didn't see anything. So there is about, you know, going to see something and not seeing it. Now there is another. How many of you saw Eurovision yesterday? Yes, a few of you. Well, you went to see it, you see. But I think, I wonder whether, like me, there is a few things in Eurovision that you wish you hadn't seen. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Well, when we unpack the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a person that we do not see. God is Spirit. We do not see, we can't touch, yet we can see His actions. We can see, we can experience His life, His presence. And we see the work of God's Spirit at creation in that readings we've started with. Last week, we looked at the Spirit of God at work in the Old Testament, that's before the coming of Jesus, and we saw that usually the activity was for particular people in particular places at particular time, but with the coming of Jesus, the presence of God's Spirit was on Him fully, and through His life, death, and resurrection, we will see next week is Pentecost, it was poured out on all people. And so we looked at those four words, reveal, revive, restore, and renew. And that's a helpful for us to think about the works of the Holy Spirit. He's the person who brings to light, helps us understand the plans of God and help us understand what Jesus did for us and who He is. He helps us to grow. He instructs and guides. Revive, that's about being the giver of life, and that's what we're going to look at creation. He's the giver of life, but also the giver of new life, rebirth, making a difference, giving new chances. Restored, and I like the word with Lexio 365, is being restored, being given a different story that we normally receive from the world, a different identity, to be restored by God. And renewed is about getting a new purpose, new directions, as we become more and more in line with God's plans, growing in His intended plans and intentions. So revive, reveal, revive, restore and renew. That was last week. And we started with a prayer, which we will take the time to do week after week. And I do hope in your life group you also do that prayer. And it says, Creator God, who formed humanity from dust, breathe in us again. Revive, restore, renew us by the power of your Spirit. Set our hearts on fire with the good news of your gospel. And so today we're looking at the beginning. And I'm very grateful for that video of Tiffin that shows when when a church is in line with God's plans and they're very practical things from their community, people becomes able to share the gospel. They said, at first, you know, they didn't know how to speak the word of God or to share the gospel, but now that they are growing in his plans, they are also able to share more freely the word of God to others, and the church is growing. Well, in the beginning, we have here God who creates the heavens and the earth. And that expression of heavens and the earth, I didn't know, is because in Hebrew, there is no one word for cosmos. So they use heaven and words to say the universe. In the beginning, God created the universe. And God's action is not just a one-off. It's not like the clockmaker who sets things in motion and now he's removed from his creation. A possible translation is in the beginning when God was creating and is still involved in his creation, bringing new life, bringing purpose and direction. God is actively in that passage bringing order, life, purpose, boundaries. And we have God creates, then we have the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And that word Spirit is Ruha, or the breath of God. We're going to expand that a little bit. But for here, you have God creates, the Spirit hovering, and then we have, and God said, God speaking speech. And that brings us the idea of what we have with Jesus. Jesus, who was the Word at the beginning, who was with God, and who was God. And so the church fathers, which are the early Christian teachers and leaders of the church, first, second, and third century, sees in this passage echoes of God's being, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, the Word. And God has a commanding, a controlling purpose for creation. Creation is not careless. It's not casual. You're not here by accident. There is an intention. There is a purpose. And there is a direction. And the Spirit of God is at the heart of it. We have... should work. There we go. The Spirit of God, or the literal translation, the breath of God, who breathe over creation, bringing from an earth that's formless, empty, where there is darkness, to a place that's thriving with life and that has direction. There is a transformation, and we saw in that video, because that's what still is at work in our world. When the Spirit of God works within a church, there is transformation within the church and within the community. Things, dark places, become lighter. Things that get out of control become in the right direction. Things that feels empty are filled with new life and new purpose. The breath of God expressed that vital force at work of God from outside towards the world, but also within us. The Spirit of God lives in the believers. So God creates, God hovers. And that word hover is actually a picture of like a bird, like a kestrel, you know, who kind of hovers. And that's quite interesting because later on, when Jesus is baptized, the same dynamic takes place. You have the Holy Spirit coming down, hovering like a bird, like a dove, and you have the waters. And it looks like it's an intentional way of saying, this is new creation. What happened at the first creation, what happened here in this passage, is happening through Jesus. Something new is happening through the work and the life of Jesus. A new kind of power. And then after this initial mention of God's Spirit or the breath of God, we don't hear from it until later when we hear about the creation of humankind. It's not the same word, but it's clearly implies the same. God breathed into humankind the breath of life, and we becoming a living being, a living being. So there is something different between us and the rest of the animals of the earth. God has breathed in us. There is a specialness, a closeness with God. But at the same time, we are also, like all the animals, depending on God's breath. So in that reading, which is really a song of praise, it speaks of human beings and animals created and sustained by God's Spirit. And that's why it's so important. What we do to nature is an expression of our attitudes to God. And when we destroy nature, we are showing an attitude of rebellion towards God's good creation. It says, all creatures look to you to give them their food and their, at their proper time. When you give them, they gather it up. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. But when you send your spirit, they are created and renewed, and you renew the face of the ground. This is about God's continuous presence in our world, renewing things. And that's why we shouldn't be without hope. We hear a lot about global warming. We hear how bad it looks. But I believe each time we go back to God and start living out of his life, he can renew things, transform. That's what we saw in that video. And it's not just community, but he can also transform our ecology. And I'm very glad that here in this church, we take that very seriously. And we have a group. And if you're into creation and nature, we have a group here that looks after those issues and that tries to do things. So if you're interested, let me know, and I'll guide you in the right direction. So we have God's breath breathing new life. But also in the passage of creation, very interestingly, it's the Spirit and the Word that brings about intentions and order and life. The Spirit and the Word. God speaks, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be a vault. Let there be waters. Let there be land to produce vegetation. Let there be. God speaks and creation listens and answers. Creation responds. And so the speech of God is sovereign, but it's not coercive. It gives freedom to respond. It can be resisted. It can be unheeded. And at the heart of the Jewish faith is, hear, O Israel. Listen, hear, listen, O Israel. The Lord your God is the only Lord. You shall love him with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is a freedom not to listen. And the whole story of the Old Testament is, well, there's many times Israel didn't listen. And the story of the New Testament is, even Christian, there are many times we don't listen. The reality of our human rebellion, not listening to the call, the source of real life. And when we do that, then we create all kind of problems in our lives. But the good news is that God hasn't abandoned his creation. He's still present with his Spirit, working, trying to revive, to restore, and to renew. And that's the work of the Spirit. God speaks, and in Jesus, the Word was made flesh. We could touch it. The Spirit enables, sustains, confirms, and the Father is glorified. And that's the idea of being manifested. His purpose and his character becomes clearer. When that happens, something of God becomes alive in our own lives and in the life of the church. So Word and Spirit goes together. And then we have words, Spirit and water. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And this connection between spirits and waters is found in other passages in the Bible. For example, in Isaiah, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendant and my blessings on your offspring. They shall spring up like grass amid waters, like willows by flowing streams. What a beautiful picture of life growing because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, who quench our thirst, who quench our thirst. The water which God promises to pour is his Spirit. And we've learned last week that it's been poured and it's accessible to all of us. We can all drink of God's Spirit in Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And that symbol of water with reference of the Spirit is taken then into the account of Jesus' baptism. He's baptized, the Spirit, like a dove, comes over the water, and it recalls that very passage of Genesis, showing that new creation is on its way. Something new, the broken creation that happened because of our not listening, is going to be reformed through Jesus. The formless, the empty, the dark, is going to be reshaped, filled with life and light. And it's through God's speech through Jesus, Jesus' words. And if you remember, in the New Testament, people who listened to Jesus were amazed at the words he was saying, because they were words of power. And it's the same that can happen in our life, and in the life of the church, when we are filled with God's presence. The words become life, because they become the words of God, not my words, but the words and intentions of God. So the question this morning is, where do we feel the void? Similar to this, where do we feel empty? Where there might be darkness within our lives or within our community? And how are we called to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill that void with life, fill that darkness with light, lift up the weight so that people can walk a new life? As we think of our town, where are places of chaos, places of darkness? Is that in our parks, which should be places of fun, places of relaxation, where it becomes places where drugs are shared and lives are ruined? How do we pray, Holy Spirit, hover around those places so that real life, what is supposed to be fun and peace and rest. And if you're interested, we are going to organize a few Saturdays. We have a paddleboard and a kayak, and we were there on Saturday to have fun and to relax, because it's important to use those spaces for what they were created, to be places of beauty and places of fellowship. So you'll get more of that on our Facebook when I'm there. I'll tell you, if you want to have a little bit of fun on a kayak or a paddleboard, you know, no age limits. But, you know, I even have a life jacket, so there we go, you're safe. Let there be light. Let there be light in our lives and in the life of our community. So let's finish with this desire that God wants to bring new life. He did it through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection. And now he wants to continue that work through his church, that's you and me, by the power of his Holy Spirit. And maybe the best passage of the promises that was made in the Old Testament that became reality with Jesus and the early church and should be a reality is that vision of Ezekiel. He had this vision, and it was given by God. And he said, the hand of God was upon me. He led me by his Spirit and showed me a valley. And it was full of bones. Adding the description that those bones were very dry. Now, in the days of the Israelites, they would collect the body. They would allow it to decompose. And then when the bones was just bones, they would then bring them to a final place of resting. And to say that the bones are very dry is this person or those people were long, long, long dead. And then God asked him a question. can these bones live? And he answered, you know, God. And he said, prophesy. In a sense, speak the word that I'm going to give to those bones. Speak the words of truth. Speak the words of life. O dry bones, hear the word of God. And so he says, he responds to that. He speaks the words that have their very source in God. And we hear that there was a noise, starting with a rattling, and the bones came together, and the bone to its bone. And then there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. And finally, at the command of the prophet, breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet. It was a picture for what was to come to Israel, but much bigger, it's a picture of what has happened since Pentecost. It's a picture of what we are called to be as a church. And so the question again is, are there areas in our lives that needs to be revived in the life of our church or in our personal life? Are there places where we feel disassembled and we need to be put back by God's Spirit? Prayer is that God will speak to our hearts, in our lives and in our community. And what about our church? Is there a place where we need to find new life? Things maybe we've tried for a long time and it hasn't brought any fruits. And maybe we haven't taken the time to really listen. Maybe God has said, I haven't been in it. I've told you for a long time, but continue. Put it down. Allow my life to spring again from within. So maybe we need to ask forgiveness for the times when we trust in our own plans more than in God's plans, or our own schemes, and not in the power or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to ask forgiveness when we don't take the time to wait. The disciples had to wait when Jesus was taken up. He says, wait until you receive the promise. Sometimes we have to wait. And there is this famous song that we have. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait. And we repeat it three times. We will wait upon the Lord. And it brings a new place of worship. Our God, you reign forever. It brings a new sense of hope. He is our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. So this morning, I just want to maybe do something different at the end of our of this talk, is to wait on the Lord, to allow God's Spirit to speak in your own hearts. Maybe there is a phrase, a sentence, a word that touched you. Maybe there is a situation, a brokenness, an emptiness, a darkness that you want God's Spirit to come and fill, to hover around, to bring some new life, direction. So come, Creator Spirit. Make known, reveal what needs to be revealed this morning. Revive, give us new life, maybe a new start. Restore us and renew. Send us a new direction or a new purpose. So we're going to just take about a minute, and then if the worship team can make their way already, we're going to lead in the time of worship again. It's another song, which is all about come Holy Spirit and do your work in my life and in the life of this church. And those two promises, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.